from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Earlier today on the station, J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, was on the midday show, and we want to play it for you. The conversation with J.J. Piccolo starts with the bounce back over the weekend for the Royals, and what a testament that is to the leadership that's on this Royals team.
No question about it, and we really saw it early in the season. You know, we had a couple bounce-back games that I thought were really important, but I think the most important thing, doesn't matter what I'm seeing, it's really how the players are feeling, and they have always given us a feel every day that they're coming to the ballpark and believe they can win. You know, it's been really nice. It's refreshing. There's a sense of maturity about this team that makes us feel good moving into the back half of the year, but they do believe in themselves. And, you know, from day one, you know, we've talked about last year was last year. Let's just focus on today and move forward. And that's what they've done. It's been fun to watch.
I know you try not to look back or make it about yourself, JJ. That's not really the part of the job that's common, but like in a way, when you're telling us last year or you're telling us in the off season that you're like, last year's team was better than 56 wins. They should have been better than 56 wins. There's too much talent. And you see I know it's not an identical roster. You guys certainly made additions in Lugo and Waka, but you see some of the same guys, Bobby, Vinny, Michael, Massey, having this success. Does it give you the reassurance that your internal evaluation of the talent you have last year is right in the sense that they were better than they were proving?
Yes, I think that's exactly what's happened, and we have to keep in mind, too, they were young players in the major leagues, so there's going to be improvement. They're going to get better. They're going to get more at-bats, more experience. So that was part of the equation, and we've said it all along. It's the success of this team long-term is going to be the development of the young players that we've had in our system. You know, if the free agents and players we've acquired in different ways over the last, let's say, 2 years, perform to their normal level of abilities, it'll be a good combination. And that does seem to be coming together. You know, the one guy that just really stands out that is doing more than we expected is Seth Lugo. You know, he's been tremendous. I don't think there's any doubt he should be an all-star, but he certainly has exceeded past performances, even though there were some signs and some trends telling us that he might be better. He's clearly exceeded those marks this year.
Yeah, that's the one thing with Lugo, JJ. It seems like when he goes out and pitches, you get this one-upsmanship with the pitchers, which is what you always want. Hey, let's go out and, you know, be better than what this guy did the night before. It feeds off each other. But he leads in ERA+, leads in batters faced, he leads in innings pitched in Major League Baseball, leads in wins, leads in ERA. I think the most amazing stat to me, JJ, too, is the 116 innings pitched, and we're before the All-Star break. And, you know, that magic number of getting pitchers to that 200-pitch mark. I mean, leading major leagues in inning pitched, that's quite the accomplishment. I don't know if you saw this on the horizon. He had 146 innings pitched all of last year in 26 starts. He's made 18 starts this year and almost getting to that mark.
Yeah, he's really he believes in himself, and he believes he should take the ball every fifth day. The nice thing, we need to monitor that and you know, understand, you know, the mark last year he was at and how many innings can he tack on this year. But his body feels great, and he's not showing any signs of let up. The nice thing, without having to tinker with a whole lot, is our schedule changes quite a bit in July. We have 8 off days in July. We haven't had a combined 8 off days in the first 3 months of the season. So the schedule is going to take care of some of that rest. He's gotten through the tougher part, as have the other guys. So I think our schedule now gets a little bit more favorable because they'll be getting that extra day off quite often through the month of July. And even August and September, we have more off days in those 2 months than the first 3 months of the season. So it lines up pretty nicely as far as trying to, manage the workload and letting guys just go out and perform.
Speaking of Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo here on Cody and Gold, I want to ask you about a two-part question with MJ Melendez. We've asked you before about when it seems like it's coming together. Earlier this year, maybe it looked like it was, and then things kind of went south there for a bit. Over his last 16 games, he's hitting .333. He's got an OPS north of .800. So for MJ, one, I guess, do you think he's figured something out in his swing and his timing that will maintain this for a while? And I guess, how do you get him to this point earlier in the season? Because last year, you would have gone through a similar thing where second half MJ Melendez was a really good hitter, JJ. It's how do you get him to that point faster?
Well, what we saw the last half of the 23 season is the player that we know MJ to be. That's why we've stuck with him throughout this season. Now he's starting to do things that he showed that he could do last year. How we get him to be a little more consistent, that's the million-dollar question.
Sure.
But now we have really two experiences, last year and now this year, that he's done some things to help the game, help slow the game down for himself. And I really think that's what it comes down to. Players can tend to press. Young players will press even more. He knows the expectation levels are very high for him. So if we can eliminate somehow the expectation levels and just be part of a good lineup and produce at a level that helps the team win, it'll probably relax him a little bit. I'm not a psychologist, so I can't say I have any factual evidence that we can point to, but that certainly seems to be the case. The nice thing this year, which is very different than last year, was the offense around him was still producing. We were scoring runs, so it wasn't falling on him. So we were able to just keep him going, and little by little, I think his at-bats have gotten better. He's always hit the ball hard. So there's some clear signs right now that he's figuring things out. And, in a lot of ways, it's like getting a player the second half of the year that you didn't have the first half. So the offense should be that much better, if MJ can perform to that level. And the same can be said for Hunter Renfro.
The team is in the final day of the voting for Salvador Perez and Bobby Wood Jr. in the runoff to try to get them to be All-Star game starters. Bobby got asked yesterday, he was on the afternoon show, about the Home Run Derby. Would you want Bobby Wood Jr. to do the Home Run Derby if he was offered?
No, it wouldn't bother us at all. Bobby's done a couple Home Run Derbies. He did one in the Futures game a couple years ago, and he did one in an All-Star game at a Major League park when he was a high school kid. Bobby knows his body so well, and if Bobby was asked and he decided to do it, it's because he feels like it wouldn't affect him. So it wouldn't bother us at all. I think it's a great event. Everybody points to the one or two guys that have struggled the second half of the year, but there's a ton of guys that have not. So we always tend to, there was this one guy that, and I remember it was Bobby Abreu years ago that fell off the second half. And there's more guys, far more guys, that don't fall off the second half than do fall off. So Bobby's a special player. And if Major League Baseball is asking him to be in the Home Run Derby, that's a clear acknowledgement that he's a star in this game. And that's quite the honor.
It seems like these new rules, too, would help the batters because you're not having that pressure with that guy. Because if you finish second home runs and you lose to the guy that hit the most,
like Salvi did.
Yeah, like Salvi did. You're still in it, so not the pressure. And then having the 3 outs at the end instead of, swinging as much as you can within a time limit, I think that does help the hitters.
Yeah, it does. It's, we spend so much time talking about injury prevention and workload management. And, I think the new rules are clearly a move in that direction to try to protect the players and still have an entertaining product for the fans. Fans love Home Run Derby. They love it. So it's a way to just modify it and think about the players first.
Last question I have for you, JJ, and then we'll let you get out of here. With the deadline now 3 weeks away, we got to get a check-in with you every couple of weeks. As far as, I understand, you're still in the early phases of targeting players and those deals could be coming here sooner rather than later. But when it comes to the deadline for like what you feel like you owe the team, I know it's hard to think that way, but is there a balance for you where you're like, well, these guys believed in what we put together and that this team could win, so I want them to see it out together? Or is it the flip side where you're like, I want to give them even more talent because of their belief that we can win and prove that this team is capable of doing even more in the postseason? How do you kind of balance this? I want the guys who bought in right away to have the chance to prove that this team is a winner on its own versus adding the talent at the deadline.
Well, the thing that, you know, I've learned over the years is that the team itself understands what the game is about. And when teams are in contention, the trade deadline can always be a busy time with a lot of things on players' minds. But when a team's in contention, I think the players just expect that there's probably going to be some change. So I'm looking at both of the scenarios you're talking about. But the total obligation is to continue to try to improve the team. That's why the front office exists. That's our job. If we feel like we have weaknesses, then we need to try to improve on those weaknesses. And at the same time, believe in the players we have, because if we're not able to do something that clearly makes our team better, this is our team. And they've shown that they can play good baseball through the first 87 games. So we have a belief in this group. So if it ends up being largely the same group, that's okay. You know, but we're going to do the right thing for the organization short-term and long-term. And what that looks like come July 30th, you know, who knows? But I think the expectation in that clubhouse is that there will be some things that happen.
JJ, you hadn't been on since the Cleveland series. That was a tremendous series for the fans, the players, I'm sure. But to win 3 out of 4 against the division leader like that, and I know you guys play so much baseball, and you know every team is you know respected. But to win 3 out of 4 against the division leading team, that had to have been a huge boost for this team.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think the neat thing about that bank was, if you were in the clubhouse, I didn't hear, like, we're playing Cleveland. I didn't hear any of that. It was just another baseball game. But when you look back on it, taking 3 out of 4 against a first-place team, regardless of who it is, it's an accomplishment. The fact that it's in our division means a little bit more. I know it doesn't hurt our confidence. I know that. So it probably gives us a little bit of a boost. But the level-headedness that I witnessed and listened to and saw made me feel like this was just another ball game, because they believe they can play with any team in the game, and that was just another great weekend. But it came at a time, coming off that West Coast trip, you know, taking 2 out of 3 from Miami, it came at a time that was needed to move into this next part of our schedule, which is two more now at home, and then, you know, a handful of games before the All-Star break, and then we catch our breath. And the timing of it was very good and something to build off of.
That was J.J. Piccolo earlier today. He was on the Midday Show. If you want to hear that full conversation, be sure to check it out at Odyssey.com, the 610 Sports. Be sure to check out what J.J. Piccolo had to say earlier today on the Midday Show. Coming up on the other side, we pay respect. We pay homage to one of the greatest moments in pop culture history. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want us to take a little bit of time today. We don't have to take all day. We don't have to spend the remainder of the show talking about this. But sometimes on this show, we like to highlight pop culture. We like to talk music on this show, movies on this show, TV shows here from time to time. You know, I love sports. I've made it my life. I like other things, too. And I imagine you do as well. So this Independence Day gives us the opportunity to celebrate one of the greatest songs of its generation. And I don't hear it getting the proper respect that it deserves. I don't hear people putting it up there as one of the greatest pop records that has ever been written, that has ever been recorded, and helped turn this artist into one of the greatest artists of her time. You know what song I'm talking about.
And let it shine, just on the night, like the 4th of July.
Congratulations. If they had played Firework at your wedding, everybody would have got to the dance floor. How can you hear that song and not boom, 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 even brighter than the... What an amazing song. It brings a tear to your eye. It's one of the greatest pop songs that has ever been written, that has ever been recorded. Now, I want you guys to tell me the truth. And I know you won't tell me the truth because it's Travis Kelce's girlfriend. Taylor Swift doesn't have one song like that in her whole catalog. Not a one. She doesn't have any song that makes you feel like Firework. Rob, sit here before us and tell a lie and tell me that there is a Taylor Swift song that you like more than Firework. There's no Taylor Swift song that would have got everybody to the dance floor dancing. You have never been moved to the point of tears listening to Taylor Swift. Not like when you hear Firework. Not like when you hear that song. What a song. What a time. I just wanted to take a little bit of time today to pay respects to a legend. To a legend. Sure, you can have Beyonce, ooh, Adele, ooh, Taylor Swift. Give me Katy Perry. That's not the only hit she has, too. She's got California Girls. She's got Firework. She's got I Kissed a Girl. She's got, what's that one song? Roar. She's got Black Horse or Black Magic or whatever the name of that song was. Oh, my God. Hits. That's all. Katy Perry stayed with the hit for about 6 years. Timeless music. When you're at your cookout this weekend, when you're out sitting around, turn on Firework and watch the way that everybody just gets in a good mood. Everybody starts nodding their head. Everybody knows the words. Everybody's singing it because it's an incredible song. It's one of the greatest pop songs ever made. I just wanted us to take a little bit of time today. We can talk about the Royals. Now, they lost yesterday. You want to talk about the Chiefs. Whoop-de-doo, they won the Super Bowl. Did Patrick Mahomes write Firework? No, he didn't. Do you think Andy Reid is even brighter than the moon? Of course he's not. Katy Perry's Firework. One of the greatest songs ever made.
So as you were setting that up, you were talking about great Independence Day songs. Now, this will be a song that's played tomorrow at the cookout. Maybe your cookout's moving to Friday because the weather, or it's at the pool. You had the opportunity to pick the right song. You were setting it up, but for some reason, you didn't play this one. Miley's career is thanks to this song. It's a party in the USA. Go to any pool tomorrow. Go to any cookout tomorrow. Go to anywhere where music is being played tomorrow on this great holiday. And I promise, they're not playing Firework, which is no disrespect to Firework. It's a good pop song. Party in the USA is that song. Every bar in the city, every cookout in the city, every pool party in the city. You know, if you have a little parade for the little ones tomorrow, I promise Party in the USA is being played.
I say this because, Rob, I care about you. And you know that. Don't you ever put Miley Cyrus in the same conversation ever again as Katy Perry. Don't ever in your life put Hannah Montana in the same category as Katy Perry. Don't ever do that again. It's disrespectful not only to me, but Queen Katy. All right? Don't do that again. How dare you try to put Party in the USA in the same vein, the same breath, the same class as Firework? Please don't do that again. No. No. Clearly the superior song is Firework by Katy Perry. And don't get me wrong, I've had some moments to Party in the USA too. It's not Firework. Firework inspires you to want to be better. You can have a party to it, and you can have, like, goals and aspirations. She's telling you something. You're a firework. Show them what you're worth. You're like, oh, you're right, Katy. I am worth something. I do have dreams and aspirations. It's really an inspirational song. It's not just about, oh, party. Oh, they were listening to Jay-Z. Oh, they were playing Britney Spears. No. Firework. The pop song of its time.
It's not even her best song.
Okay, here we go.
California Girls is a better Katy Perry song than Firework.
Have they let her do the halftime show at the Super Bowl? Because they let Katy do it. Because they know Katy has nothing but classics and hits. That's why. Has Taylor done it? No. Has Adele done it? No. Has Miley done it? No. Katy's done it. Because she's one of the biggest pop stars of her time. I can't believe you would come on here, Party in the USA?
She had her hands up. She happened to play in LAX.
She had a dream in a cardigan.
Mm-hmm. She was joining the land of fame and success.
She had a dream.
Is she going to fit in, Carrington? It's a story as old as time.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you know what it really is? It's a story about nepotism. You know who she is? Bronny James. That's who Miley Cyrus is. She's Bronny James. And you're buying this made-up story.
To be fair, she's still pumping out music while Katy Perry is Randy Jackson now on American Idol.
I've given, you know what? I gave everything I could to the game. How much more did you want? I gave you 15, 20 bangers, and now I'm going to go do American Idol. I don't know what more Katy Perry had to give to us. She didn't have anything else left to give. She gave us everything. She left it all out on the court. We don't need any more new music from Katy Perry. Just why don't you just lay up in Vegas and just do a residency? I will travel to go see Firework. I want to hear you say, I am a champion, and you're going to hear me roar. I want to roar. You don't want to roar? I want to roar. Can't believe you would ever have the audacity, the gall to try to put Miley Cyrus in the same category as Katy Perry. So disrespectful. Now, this is another topic. I know you're going to upset me, Rob. I just know it. Now, you know, Rob, my love of Law & Order, right? You know, I love Law & Order. It's my favorite show. Law & Order is a spinoff. There was regular Law & Order. Then they had Law & Order SVU. Then they've had Law & Order Criminal Intent. They've had Law & Order Organized Crime. They've had Law & Order LA. They've got a bunch of different Law & Orders. They're doing the same thing with Hard Knocks. It started with Training Camp. And we all love the Training Camp one, right? You know, the Chiefs were on there 1 year. They had the Jets on there with Rex Ryan. You know, Shannon Sharp was on one. Iconic moments. Now, they've gotten bored with just Training Camp. We need to have Hard Knocks for everything. We need to have Hard Knocks in the offseason. We need to have Hard Knocks during the season. We need it during the training camps. Basically, we just need to follow every NFL team around and maybe something cool will happen while we're doing it. So yesterday was the episode about the New York Giants. And I want to play for you guys one of the cuts in there because they were discussing on whether or not they were going to keep Saquon Barkley. Here's what they said.
Okay, so to take this step further, we lose Saquon, right? What's our identity going to be on offense now? Like, what's our plan to, what's the next step of that? I guess is what I'm thinking. Like, we're losing a large part of our offense, our explosiveness, our touchdowns. Quarterback, if it's Daniel, depends on the run game.
We got to upgrade the offensive line, and you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at 6. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
I know you loved what they had to say. I know you did, didn't you? The Giants are making the same mistake that many teams do. They think their quarterback is much better than what he was. Now, you guys are going to find this as a shock. I know you're going to find this as a shock. The Giants have made the playoffs one time in the last 7 years. Guess what season it was? It was Saquon Barkley's best season as a pro. Saquon Barkley was their best player the year that they made the postseason. Now, I'm not telling you that throwing the ball is not important and that having a good quarterback is not important, but somehow we have let these football people try to convince us that running the football is not important, especially when you have Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback. The Giants are trying to convince us that Daniel Jones still has something left. He's 27 years old. And I ain't saying that he's too old for the earth. I'm just saying that if you have 60 starts the way that Daniel Jones is, we know what you are as a starting quarterback. I didn't need 60 starts to Patrick Mahomes. I don't need 60 starts to CJ Stroud or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson to know that they're some of the better quarterbacks in the league. The fact that we are entering year 6 with Daniel Jones and they are still trying to play the offensive line, let's go get a more wide receiver game, lets me know everything that I need to know that we don't need to take the Giants seriously this year. Let's go ahead and before the season even starts, let's start eliminating teams from the playoffs. Carolina, you're first up. You ain't making the playoffs. I'm going to go ahead and nominate the New York Giants. You ain't making the postseason. No chance. Not if you were telling me the plan is Daniel Jones. I don't know why the Giants did this. There was a way to do this better than what they did. I would have franchise tagged Daniel Jones last year. I would have let him play this year. I would have gave myself the option to see if it went well. It didn't go well. He threw 2 touchdowns and had 6 interceptions and got hurt. The Giants went 1-5 in those games. I would have let Daniel Jones go, and you could have drafted a quarterback this year. You could have got J.J. McCarthy, who sounds like Michigan for Daniel Jones, just a whole lot cheaper. You could have got Michael Penix, who is the Washington version of Daniel Jones. You could have got him for a whole lot cheaper. But no, you gave Daniel Jones $40 million, and now you got to try to make it work, and you got to try to lie to yourself and convince yourself that, hey, we got to pump more into our quarterback. The general manager of the Giants said that they wouldn't even have won with Patrick Mahomes behind the offensive line that he said. He should be fired immediately. If you're the owner of the team and you hear your general manager say that, you should be fired. Immediately. Hand me your keys. Don't even drive home from here. We'll have somebody take you home and you can figure out how to get back up here to get your car at a later day. We just need you to leave immediately. Don't clean up your stuff. We'll have somebody send it to you. Please. You wouldn't have won last year with Patrick Mahomes. I know you were just watching this offseason Hard Knocks. You were just loving them. Yeah, yeah, get rid of the running back. Invest in the quarterback position. I know you were going crazy based off what you heard.
Now, I don't support the idea of paying Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones is quarterback purgatory. Let's be honest about that. He is good enough to give you the illusion that you're good, but never good enough to justify the money. He is often what we refer to as a lazy narrative as the Alex Smith type. He does just enough to get you think there could be something there, but never enough to justify the money he's making. I want that on the record first and foremost. But you know what? NFL GMs think the same way I do. And the text line cooks me all the time. Oh, you just hate running backs, hate running the ball. Do you know what NFL GMs know? And the same thing I know, $12 million running back is a waste of money because it is a replaceable position. It is plug and play. It is dime a dozen. Do you know what? The Giants are going to be bad this year because Daniel Jones is not good. Not because they don't have Saquon Barkley. Last year, the Eagles had good running back talent. They were bad. You know why? Jalen Hurts wasn't good. If this year, if Jalen Hurts is good, they're going to be good with Saquon Barkley. But if he's bad, it doesn't matter who's standing behind the quarterback. It's a wasted position. And you know what? In a few years, and by a few I mean one calendar year from now, Brett Veach is going to be having those same conversations in his office or one overhead drive. You know what I hope Brett Veach says? I don't care about paying $12 million to Isaiah Pacheco. What matters is the guy we're paying $40 million to, and that's Patrick Mahomes. And if I can save 12 and just put another human body behind him, we good. NFL GMs think the same way about running back that I do, Carrington. So join the revolution, because there's 32 people out there who see it the way I see it.
I would just like to point out the fact that you mentioned about Philadelphia. I do think it's fair to point out that they just got worse at running back, too. It was quarterback. I don't disagree with you about Jalen Hurts. He was not that good last year. DeAndre Swift was not nearly as productive as Miles Sanders was. Miles Sanders had a better yards per carry, ran for more yards, scored more touchdowns. He was a better, more efficient running back last year. Where I think I don't disagree with your thought process if you have the absolute best quarterback. If you're Patrick Mahomes, do you need an elite-level run game? No. Can you get by with Isaiah Pacheco? Sure. Isaiah Pacheco wasn't one of the top five, top 10 running backs in the league, but he is a more than capable running back that can execute what you need. If that's not who you are, if you're not Kansas City, then that's probably what you need. Look at Baltimore. When is Baltimore at their best? I think Baltimore beats Kansas City if they just commit to running the football and being who they are. But no, they wanted to try to out-Chiefs the Kansas City Chiefs. What have we seen over the last 6 years that would suggest that you were going to beat Kansas City that way? No, play your game. If you're San Francisco, your game is Christian McCaffrey. Your quarterback doesn't make mistakes. You play good defense. That's the formula for a lot of teams. What I hear the Giants is they just don't want to accept what and who they are. And they are not a team that Daniel Jones is going to lead you anywhere other than to a new quarterback. That's all Daniel Jones can do. Daniel Jones can help you get your next quarterback. And maybe that's their plan. Hey, we really want Carson Beck this year. So we're going to go 6-11 this year. We're going to win 5 games this season. We're going to let Daniel Jones go on his merry way, and then we can start this process again. But running the football and controlling the line of scrimmage is still a pathway to winning. I just saw a team get to the Super Bowl doing it that way. It just sounds like arrogance to me among coaches, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense how you can be arrogant if you have Daniel Jones. You can be arrogant if you got Patrick Mahomes. You can't be arrogant if you got Daniel Jones as your QB.
I just think you were a little bit disingenuous when you were like, lo and behold, the one time the Giants made the playoffs was Saquon Barkley's best season. Saquon Barkley had five other seasons with the team, Carrington.
He was hurt those other years.
And they weren't doing any winning. And it didn't matter. And by the way, Saquon Barkley was on the team last year too, and they were also terrible last season. The idea that running the football is the path is just not correct. The Niners do it, but the Niners are a wild outlier. Like, wild. And you know what? Let's see what happens when it's pay Brock Purdy time. Maybe they continue to be an outlier and they walk on quarterback because they have Kyle Shanahan and the running back. But I bet when it's pay Brock Purdy time, if someone has to get cut to get under the cap, Christian McCaffrey is the first candidate. The Niners are just an outlier. Everyone else understands you have to win through your quarterback, and you surround him with weapons, and you have to sometimes cheap it up to do that. And running back is the easiest place to cheap it up. And Daniel Jones' contract is a mistake by the Giants. I'm not defending Daniel Jones. His contract is bad. He's not good. But if you're going to invest $40 million into quarterback, which is kind of the going rate, by the way, if you're going to do that, to be successful, you got to cheap out somewhere else. And cheaping out at running back is the easiest place to continue to be successful while continuing to cheap out.
I just think that we have kind of overcomplicated football to the point of, and I'm not saying that having an elite passing attack is not valuable. It obviously is. I still think the principles of football, I still think they matter. For all the revolution in the NBA about shooting threes, there are still some things that matter. Can you defend? Can you rebound? Can you protect the rim? And if you can do those things, you give yourself a chance to win a lot of games. In the NFL, you can't win with the worst quarterback. Can you play defense? Can you control the line of scrimmage? Can you protect the ball? Can you run the football effectively? And if you can do those things, then you got a chance. And what I'm just hearing insight into the Giants, I don't think they understand that. Like, I would not feel encouraged if I was a Giants fan based on what I heard. Hey, we want to put more power into Daniel Jones' hands, and it's not Daniel Jones, it's the situation that he's in. I think we got enough information to know about Daniel Jones that that's not it. Daniel Jones in his NFL career has made 60 starts. He has 58 turnovers. He ain't good. You are not winning anything with Daniel Jones. And the longer that you keep him and the longer that you convince yourself that it's other pieces, you are letting time pass you by. The Giants are in one of the worst situations of any team in the league. You much rather be Washington than be the Giants right now. Now, you are never that far away from getting yourself back to a good situation. I mean, Houston was terrible 2 years ago. You get the right quarterback, you hit on things, and then look, hey, you got a chance to be a Super Bowl contending team. So you're not that far away from being good. But right today, you much rather be Washington. You rather be the Commanders than be the Giants because you have a pathway to being good. And the pathway is not, you are not locked in with one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck, remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about last night's Royals game. The Royals lost 5-1, and there was a 2.5-hour rain delay right smack dab in the middle of the game. Just right in the middle. We'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. If you guys missed it yesterday, I gave you guys a couple of really important PSAs. I just want to go ahead and double back one more time in case you missed it, in case you didn't hear me, because I think it's really important that you hear me. KU Medical, they have a burn center that opens up tomorrow at 7 and then closes Monday at 7. So I don't want you to go there. So I want you to be smart, make good decisions over the weekend, all right? I want you to get to Monday with all your fingers, all your toes. I don't want you wearing an eye patch like Slick Rick. I don't want any of that. I want you to get through the weekend safe. I also want you to know we are giving you tonight to light fireworks. Go outside. Have fun. You get tomorrow to light fireworks. Have fun. You get Friday to pop fireworks. Have fun. Saturday, have at it. I'm telling you guys, Sunday, by the time the House of the Dragon comes on, if you are popping fireworks, I hope someone calls the police. There's no time for that. There's no room for that. You had enough time. You have four business days that you can pop fireworks to your heart's content. Go outside and light all the bottle rockets that you can. Go ahead and light all of the firecrackers that warm your spirit. I'm not here stopping you. When I hear that Game of Thrones intro, if you're still popping fireworks, I'm calling the police. I don't know what else to tell you. I've given you fair warning. You don't believe me. You think I'm joking around. All right, no, you're going to believe me. When that paddy wagon shows up and you and your son are in the back of the paddy wagon and they're taking you in for disturbing the peace and disorderly conduct, because that's what I'm pushing for. And I'm showing up at the court appearance. I'm processing charges. I am pursuing these charges to the absolute full extent of the law. I want you to go to jail. You know what? It's on HBO Max anyway. I'll come back. I'll go down to booking and make sure you don't get out tonight. Please don't do it. Rob, if you can, before we get back to very serious sports things, can you hit me with a little bit of music? Because I want to ask you some food questions that I've never asked you before, but I just want to get a sense of what kind of gathering that you are going to have this weekend. You're a married man now, so I don't know if you're hosting. You just recently got a house. You're doing a lot of adult things over the last 6 months or so. I just want to know what's going on over at now the Brenton House. Can you hand me with a little music, please? All right, one got to go. Regular Lay's, Fritos, Cool Ranch Doritos, or Cheetos? One got to go.
That's easy. Fritos. Fritos are out of here. The only time I like Fritos are like if it's a cold October night and chili's been made. You crunch them up. You put them in a little bit of a topper to get a little crunch to your chili. But the actual chip itself, do people enjoy the chip by itself? I do not like a Frito. Cool Ranch, not my preferred flavored Dorito. Good. Cheeto, very good. Regular Lay's, incredible for a cookout. Frito, out of here.
I assume, I'm just assuming, that if you were just sitting there and you were just eating regular Fritos, you're really hungry. You're really hungry. And this was the last bag of chips that was available. You know that little, like, grab bag of chips that come? Like, you know it's in that big herb bag? And then it's like a little hodgepodge. It's like Cooler Ranch in there, nacho cheese in there, Lay's are in there. It's like a bunch of different chips. If you're eating the Fritos, I'm just assuming that you've ran out of all the other ones, and I'm just assuming that you're really hungry and you just need something to hold you. You just need a little something to hold you until the fourth quarter. All right, one got to go here. Condiments edition. Heinz ketchup, Hidden Valley Ranch, mustard, or barbecue sauce.
Ketchup, out of here. If I'm having hot dogs or hamburgers, mustard is the preferred for a hot dog. I can survive with just mustard on my burger. Or may I go barbecue sauce on my burger? I live in Kansas City. I can't cut barbecue sauce. And ranch is a catch-all. It basically can go on anything and everything. If you got wings at your cookout, I got to have my ranch. I can't be cutting ranch. So see you later, ketchup.
All right. This is the thing, though, because you know I don't like ketchup, but I think this is really important, though, because we do live in Kansas City. What barbecue sauce are you using? Now, I would encourage you to use Gates barbecue sauce. It's the best barbecue sauce in the world, in my opinion. It's my favorite barbecue sauce. But I understand that other people use different sauces. What kind of sauce are you using? You got Sweet Baby Ray's over here? Because I might look at you a little funny. You got Sweet Baby Ray's? Because that's not what I'm eating. Now, you want to know what kind I really do like? They got this KC Masterpiece, this hickory-flavored barbecue sauce. Oh, my goodness. That's good. But what kind of barbecue sauce are you using here if you're going to slather them on them chicken, if you're going to slather that on the ribs? Because I might tell you not to do that and let me add my own sauce later because I don't want the sauce that you put on yours. No, please don't do that.
Now, I'm assuming this took place in Kansas City so no one would waste American currency on Sweet Baby Ray's.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. Somebody out there listening right now loves Sweet Baby Ray's. That's their favorite barbecue sauce. I'm just telling you that. You know what I'm saying is true. You know I'm not crazy.
I'm going to block that on the text line if I find out that to be true. I think my two go-to sauces are either Gates or the Night of Living Pig from Joe's. I like a little more spice in my sauce, a little more heat. So that Night of the Living Pig is my go-to as far as sauces.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Aside from the staples, what else are you throwing on the grill? Aside from the staples, obviously, you're going to have a burger tomorrow. You're going to have a hot dog tomorrow. Maybe you're going to have a bratwurst tomorrow. I like hot dogs on the 4th because I think it's a really good appetizer. I'm going to eat bigger later today, but it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We're not going to eat heavy until later in the day. Man, go and grab me one of them links. Let me get a link over there. I can walk around with the link. What else are you putting on the grill that's not, you know, one of those essentials? Are you throwing a steak on there? Are you throwing a little shrimp kebab on there? How are you getting down on the grill?
So, there's a couple answers. Steak kebab is the actual top answer here. I like a nice steak kebab. It's a little bit different. It's not my go-to for the 4th of July, but, you know, you buy them at your local Hy-Vee. They do a great job over there. Throw them on the grill. I also will grill up some veggies. I'll throw a little packet of, like, potatoes and get those cooking on the grill. Maybe little peppers and onions, get those going on the grill in a little foil packet. Also, they have corn that you can char on the grill. I get a little bit of that going. So on top of your staples, I get the veggies done on the grill. And then my grill becomes a one-stop shop for basically all the foods that are needing to be prepared.
Okay. All right. Text line 913-586-7610. Just, you know, want to get a feel for what you like. Do you put the corn on the cob on the grill? Are you grilling the corn, or are you going to boil it in the pot?
I grill it.
Okay. All right, just asking. Sometimes I got to test you guys. I got to know, you know, what you're eating, what you're drinking, what your plans are, you know. I think for the most part, when it comes to summertime cookouts and barbecue, that, you know, we're all on the same side. It's just once we get to Thanksgiving is where we really start to, we start to go left. Well, I'm going left. Y'all going right, or which direction? I don't know, but we're not on the same page then. But there's nothing I love more than when you throw a couple of them. Go and throw a couple of them wings on there, man. Just throw me, just grill me a couple of them wings. I'll put them off in the corner, man. Just put me a couple of wings on there and let them. Oh, my goodness. I love a good barbecue chicken wing, right? Hot off the grill. Big fan. Can't wait for tomorrow. All right, guys, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Royals. The Royals lost 5-1 yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays, and that's not the story, though. It was a 2.5-hour rain delay in the middle of the game. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about last night's Royals game. The Royals lost 5-1, and there was a 2.5-hour rain delay right smack dab in the middle of the game. Just right in the middle. We'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. If you guys missed it yesterday, I gave you guys a couple of really important PSAs. I just want to go ahead and double back one more time in case you missed it, in case you didn't hear me, because I think it's really important that you hear me. KU Medical, they have a burn center that opens up tomorrow at 7 and then closes Monday at 7. So I don't want you to go there. So I want you to be smart, make good decisions over the weekend, all right? I want you to get to Monday with all your fingers, all your toes. I don't want you wearing an eye patch like Slick Rick. I don't want any of that. I want you to get through the weekend safe. I also want you to know we are giving you tonight to light fireworks. Go outside. Have fun. You get tomorrow to light fireworks. Have fun. You get Friday to pop fireworks. Have fun. Saturday, have at it. I'm telling you guys, Sunday, by the time the House of the Dragon comes on, if you are popping fireworks, I hope someone calls the police. There's no time for that. There's no room for that. You had enough time. You have four business days that you can pop fireworks to your heart's content. Go outside and light all the bottle rockets that you can. Go ahead and light all of the firecrackers that warm your spirit. I'm not here stopping you. When I hear that Game of Thrones intro, if you're still popping fireworks, I'm calling the police. I don't know what else to tell you. I've given you fair warning. You don't believe me. You think I'm joking around. All right. No, you're going to believe me. When that paddy wagon shows up and you and your son are in the back of the paddy wagon and they're taking you in for disturbing the peace and disorderly conduct, because that's what I'm pushing for. And I'm showing up at the court appearance. I'm processing charges. I am pursuing these charges to the absolute full extent of the law. I want you to go to jail. You know what? It's on HBO Max anyway. I'll come back. I'll go down to booking and make sure you don't get out tonight. Please don't do it. Rob, if you can, before we get back to very serious sports things, can you hit me with a little bit of music? Because I want to ask you some food questions that I've never asked you before, but I just want to get a sense of what kind of gathering that you are going to have this weekend. You're a married man now, so I don't know if you're hosting. You just recently got a house. You're doing a lot of adult things over the last 6 months or so. I just want to know what's going on over at now the Brenton House. Can you hit me with a little music, please? All right, one got to go. Regular Lay's, Fritos, Cool Ranch Doritos, or Cheetos? One got to go.
That's easy. Fritos. Fritos are out of here. The only time I like Fritos are like if it's a cold October night and chili's been made, you crunch them up, you put them in a little bit of a topper to give a little crunch to your chili. But the actual chip itself, do people enjoy the chip by itself? I do not like a Frito. Cool Ranch, not my preferred flavored Dorito, good. Cheeto, very good. Regular Lay's, incredible for a cookout. Frito, out of here.
I assume, I'm just assuming, that if you were just sitting there and you were just eating regular Fritos, you're really hungry. You're really hungry. And this was the last bag of chips that was available. You know that little, like, grab bag of chips that come? Like, you know it's in that big herb bag? And then it's like a little hodgepodge. It's like Cooler Ranch in there, nacho cheese in there, Lay's are in there. It's like a bunch of different chips. If you're eating the Fritos, I'm just assuming that you've ran out of all the other ones, and I'm just assuming that you're really hungry and you just need, you need something to hold you. You just need a little something to hold you until the fourth quarter. All right, one gotta go here. Condiments edition. Heinz ketchup, Hidden Valley Ranch, mustard, or barbecue sauce.
Ketchup, out of here. If I'm having hot dogs or hamburgers, mustard is the preferred for a hot dog. I can survive with just mustard on my burger. Or may I go barbecue sauce on my burger? I live in Kansas City. I can't cut barbecue sauce. And ranch, ranch is a catch-all. It basically can go on anything and everything. If you got wings at your cookout, I gotta have my ranch. I can't be cutting ranch. So see you later, ketchup.
All right. This is the thing, though, because you know I don't like ketchup, but I think this is really important, though, because we do live in Kansas City. What barbecue sauce are you using? Now, I would encourage you to use Gates barbecue sauce. It's the best barbecue sauce in the world, in my opinion. It's my favorite barbecue sauce. But I understand that other people use different sauces. What kind of sauce are you using? You got Sweet Baby Ray's over here? Because I might look at you a little funny. You got Sweet Baby Ray's? Because that's not what I'm eating. Now, you want to know what kind I really do like? They got this KC Masterpiece, this hickory-flavored barbecue sauce. Oh, my goodness. That's good. But what kind of barbecue sauce are you using here if you're going to slather them on them chicken, if you're going to slather that on the ribs? Because I might tell you not to do that and let me add my own sauce later because I don't want the sauce that you put on yours. No, please don't do that.
Now, I'm assuming this took place in Kansas City so no one would waste American currency on Sweet Baby Ray's.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. Somebody out there listening right now loves Sweet Baby Ray's. That's their favorite barbecue sauce. I'm just telling you that. You know what I'm saying is true. You know I'm not crazy.
I'm going to block them on the text line. Find out that to be true. I think my two go-to sauces are either Gates or the Night of Living Pig from Joe's. I like a little more spice in my sauce, a little more heat. So that Night of the Living Pig is my go-to as far as sauces.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Aside from the staples, what else are you throwing on the grill? Aside from the staples, obviously, you're going to have a burger tomorrow. You're going to have a hot dog tomorrow. Maybe you're going to have a bratwurst tomorrow. I like hot dogs on the 4th because I think it's a really good appetizer. I'm going to eat bigger later today, but it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We're not going to eat heavy until later in the day. Man, go and grab me one of them links. Let me get a link over there. I can walk around with the link. What else are you putting on the grill that's not, you know, one of those essentials? Are you throwing a steak on there? Are you throwing a little shrimp kebab on there? How are you getting down on the grill?
So, there's a couple answers. Steak kebab is the actual top answer here. I like a nice steak kebab. It's a little bit different. It's not my go-to for the 4th of July, but, you know, you buy them at your local Hy-Vee. They do a great job over there. Throw them on the grill. I also will grill up some veggies. I'll throw a little packet of, like, potatoes and get those cooking on the grill. Maybe a little peppers and onions. Get those going on the grill in a little foil packet. Also, they have corn that you can char on the grill. I get a little bit of that going. So on top of your staples, I get the veggies done on the grill. Then my grill becomes a one-stop shop for basically all the foods that are needing to be prepared.
Okay. All right. Text line 913-586-7610. You know, want to get a feel for what you like. Do you put the corn of the cob on the grill? Are you grilling the corn or are you going to boil it in the pot?
I grill it.
Okay. All right, just asking. Sometimes I got to test you guys. I got to know, you know, what you're eating, what you're drinking, what your plans are, you know. I think for the most part, when it comes to summertime cookouts and barbecue, that, you know, we're all on the same side. It's just once we get to Thanksgiving is where we really start to go left. Well, I'm going left. Y'all going right or which direction? I don't know, but we're not on the same page then. But there's nothing I love more than when you throw a couple of them. Go and throw a couple of them wings on there, man. Just throw me, just grill me a couple of them wings. Put them off in the corner, man. Just put me a couple of wings on there and let them. Oh, my goodness. I love a good barbecue chicken wing, right? Hot off the grill. Big fan. Can't wait for tomorrow. All right, guys, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Royals. The Royals lost 5-1 yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays, and that's not the story, though. It was a 2.5-hour rain delay in the middle of the game. Keep it right here, it's the drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.